In his book, Robert McKee, who is considered as a guru in modern storytelling and script writing, says that the law of conflict is more than an aesthetic principle. It is the soul of story. Story is metaphor for life, and to be alive is to be in seemingly perpetual conflict. So will it be legitimate to say, taking it to its extreme or high level, that any story is metaphor not for human life but for Lord's pastime? And if not the law of conflict, then what else could be the soul of Leela in these terms?
Well, it is applicable. Is what it's called, Leela Pushti, that which is nourishing Leela. So here they want to see someone rise to the level of heroism, right? A hero. And we see in the pastimes of Krishna, as Gurudev once said, if the devotees are not in trouble, then they're not in need of being saved, right? Then Krishna would be deprived of descending to rescue them. And we hear Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur say that, like an example of what precedes Aghasura Leela. So from one point of view, the pastimes are in full swing and they're in a never-ending state of expanding ecstasy. And to provide some contrast to that, to take it in a new direction, some demon or asura is introduced into the pastime. So they're going on in a particular happy way, and then something goes terribly wrong. And we see in stories, novels, screenplays, etc., how often they begin by first establishing that everything's fine. You're in some wonderful place and life is going on in just the most normal way, and everyone's sort of lulled into a sense of complacency. And then something very terrible happens. And in response to that, the sort of characters that are involved, we see them in varying degrees rise to the occasion, and we see what they're made out of, so to speak. So that sort of thing is there in Krishna Leela, but in the most marvelous way. Because what is Krishna made out of? His Akila Rasamrita Murti, Rasa Raj, his ecstasy personified. So it means, in a sense, following that theme or model, that what will be demonstrated in these pastimes is Krishna's real nature of being, you know, happiness personified will ultimately be expressed. Any other sort of mood or aspect is incidental along the way and not intrinsic to Krishna himself. So we're informed by the acharyas, for example, the killing of asuras or demons in Krishna Leela is performed by his Vishnu aspect, because it's not really pure Krishna in that sense. When Krishna's in fully expressing himself, it will always be of the nature of rasa and pastimes of deep enjoyment. But the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Leela, is they are cast and scripted by Yogamaya and Baladev. And inherent in the scripting is dramatic intensity. So repeatedly we find devotees are in situations where they're in need of being rescued, protected, like in Gita, saying Puritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. Puritranaya Sarunam means to protect the sadhus, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, and annihilate the duskriti, the the impious or the opposition. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's expressing the same thing in song in a very sweet way and with more specificity by saying Braja Jana Palana Asura Kula Nashana. Why is he descended? More specifically than sadhu is a general term, Brajajan, the Brajajan Palan, he's the protector of the people of Braja. That means, you know, Nanda, Jashoda, Subal Sridham, Lalita Vishaka, and Radharani's group, and like that, and the cows, and the divine abode of Vrindavan. And Srila Guru Maharaj tells us, because there's a running consideration of different ways of viewing Gokula Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. Which one is the original and which one is the extension? So generally it is thought there's Goloka Vrindavan, the original, and then for Prapancha Leela, which means pastimes in this world, there is Gokula Vrindavan. But we discussed this with Srila Guru Maharaj, referencing Srila Jiva Goswami, and later we heard from Srila Gurudev in regard to Garga Sanghita, that when Radharani and Krishna are discussing the descent, Krishna's making it known to her his plans to descend into this world, Krishna Leela. And she says, I won't accept a replica or a duplicate of what we have here. We have to take everything we have here, we have to descend with that, the original. And she says it twice, in fact, and says, you know, I'm serious that I'm not going unless we have the Jamuna, the, you know, Vrindavan, just all of this. I don't want a duplicate, an extension, some, you know, by your mystic power, you can make something that only the experts could understand is any different. Not like that. I want to take everything with me. So there are those who are of the opinion that the original is brought into this world. That's Gokula Vrindavan. And what remains is an extension, Goloka. And interestingly, in Prapancha Leela, Gokula Vrindavan in this world, as Guru Maharaj will say in principle, one of the wonderful aspects of Krishna Leela is the infinite mixing with the finite as though he's one of them. Think of that. And think about it more in this sense. In Goloka Vrindavan, the pastimes, the asuras are represented there, Guru Maharaj said, in the form of rumor, a painting, a poster. Look out for this thing, to create this feeling. But there are no actual demons there. here in this plane, not only are there demons, sometimes great souls descending from that plane to play that role, but think of it, the infinite is in the world where there are conditioned finite. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are no conditioned souls. Right? Everyone's a liberated soul. The soil is comprised of liberated souls. We find in the Mukta Charit of Raghunath Das Goswami that there's a play. That means, you know, the pastime of the pearls. Mukta means pearls. But mukta also means liberated soul. So even those pearls are liberated souls. Vaikuntha prithivyadi sakala chenmoy. The soil is chenmoy. So if the soil in the spiritual world is chenmoy, then what to speak of the divine beings that traverse that soil? It's spiritually conscious and comprised of liberated souls, and liberated souls walking on that, like Guru Maharaj said, to take it to the nth degree. The infinite sleeps on a bed of infinite. So no actual demons in Goloka Vrindavan. But in this world, the demons are there. And the infinite is in fact mixing with the finite as though he's one of them. And in this way, people can be initiated into Krishna Lila. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma na iti mam eti sorjuna. In Gita, you know, it says another verse, ajopi san avyayatma bhutana anishwarupa. He's ajja, unborn. But here he's saying, janma. If you can understand the, you know, dibya aspect, the transcendental nature of my birth, appearance, pastimes, etc., then giving up this body, perhaps Sanatana Goswami said, you'll be transferred to a universe where the pastimes of Krishna are current, and gopi bhav, gopi, and appear from the womb of a braja gopi, and that way they're introduced, incorporated into Krishna Leela. So he's saying, if you can understand that how the unborn takes birth, if you go, well, wait, that doesn't make sense, then, you know, there's going to be a problem. Then you say, oh, so this is the play of the sweet absolute. He can play like that. He can appear as a baby and do all the things that babies do, crawl, they can't talk, they say nonsense things, you know, and gradually learn to speak. And how sweet is that? That the supreme absolute truth, the infinite, he can play like that, like a little baby. Nandakim akarod brahman sreva mahodayam. Yashodava Mahabhaga Papo Yasya Stanam Hari. Purikat Maharaj is thinking, oh, Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman Sri. How fortunate is Nanda Maharaj? When Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyay, what is your opinion about what is the essential thing to take away from the scriptures? Shrutim apare, smritim itare, varantamanye, bhavabhito, ahang nanda iham bande yashalande param brahma. Shruti means Veda, but also what is to be heard. So all the shrutis, the smritis, all, he's referencing all known Vedic literature. He's saying, and what do? They have different prescriptions how to overcome bhai. fear. What's the Russian word for fear?
Страх.
Oh, okay. Isn't there some word like boyu?
Боюсь.
Yes.
I'm afraid.
Right. Get it? Boy. That's
not
it. I knew there was a word.
Бояться in infinitive.
Yes. Right. I'm saying it's similar to the Sanskrit word boy. Abhay. So, why did I say that?
Mahaprabhu is asking
Raghupati. Oh, Raghupati. So he's saying, basically, people are thinking, oh, how nice, they're reading the scriptures. But in the words of W.C. Fields, who was generally a comedian, thought to be an atheist, and friends saw him reading the Bible, and they go, Bill, what are you doing? He said, looking for loopholes. Because he had lived a sinful life. Loophole means an escape clause. He's like frantically looking to see if there's some way I'm going to get out of all these impending karmic reactions. So he's saying, that's why people, it's not the only reason, but we have to be honest. He's saying, very often this is out of fear of mortality and impending karmic reactions. We don't even know what we've done. And this long, sojourn, lifetime after lifetime, you think like, I hope I've taken care of, I've got some sort of a nice karmic balance going, but you don't know what happened previously. And that's why, as I told, the lady wrote a book called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And the answer is a single word, karma. You don't have to write a whole book about it, actually. That's the answer. So he said they're trying to escape impending mortality. As, again, one of the premier atheists of the 20th century observed in his final days in cancer, he saw so many instances where someone would be diagnosed with cancer, and the typical response or the way it's covered in the media in America, as they go, but Bob's a real fighter. He's going to fight this thing. And as I say, if Ladbrokes and Ireland, if they would take a bet on this, I'm betting on cancer. Right? It doesn't matter. You're a fighter. You're not going to creatively visualize this away. It's not like that. So he said his own, and he was suffering from the same thing. And he said, and then when they finally write an obituary, he was kind of writing his own before he died. And he said, it's as if to say, after a long struggle with mortality, he succumbed. What else can you say? Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. Finished. Huh. Even the lizards are... they can't wait to move on. So, there's one of them. He said, so that's not the only reason, but it's the primary reason. And he said, and this is so beautiful, because he goes from that in one leap into Raga Bhakti, not some generic God description or generic to Vatsalya Rasa. Ahangiha Nandam Bande Yasyalande Param Brahma. What I want to know, what I think we should give our attention to, what did Nanda Maharaj do? Everyone who's seeking to escape impending karmic reactions and mortality is searching for the Param Brahma in one way or another to get saved, get rescued, relieved. He's saying, but that Param Brahma, of whom is their focal point, he's crawling as a baby in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So my thinking is, what did Nanda Maharaj do? As he's got him, he's captured him, he's crawling in his courtyard as a baby. And that Mahaprabhu liked very much to hear. So in one leap to Vatsalya Rasa, Ragamarg, and back to Parikit Maharaj, thinking also how fortunate is Nanda Maharaj. But it says, Yashoda Ba Mahabhaga. The fortune of Yashoda is even greater because as Nanda Maharaj has Krishna crawling in the courtyard, Yashoda has Krishna crawling on her, right? In her lap, sucking her breast. So you're thinking, like, what did they do? Forget all this other stuff. Let's hear about that. So Mahaprabhu, so much appreciating Raghupati Upadhyay, and saying, anything more? Like, I really like this. Do you have more? Anything further could be said? And that's when he said, oh, well, you know, I could say more, but would anybody believe me? And is there anyone qualified to hear more than that? Very, you know, in three slokas he's dealing with us. See how carefully. It's Mahaprabhu. He didn't say, oh, I'm, you know, I'm Swayam, I'm Radha Govinda combined. You know, you can tell me about it. Oh, he's saying, what we understand from this is people are not qualified to hear it, including us. Then we say, then how can we proceed further? Because Guru Maharaj said, in interpreting these slokas, that he said, but Raghupati Upadhyaya is alluding, but now that you've come, you'll qualify them and they'll believe it. So it's the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? His Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima. He's come to broadcast the glories of Radharani and Prema Sima. What are the heights, you know, of Krishna Prem? How far does it go? That's what he's personally interested in. When someone said to Guru Maharaj, in disbelief after hearing him speak of how magnanimous is Mahaprabhu, sitting there like this, he came to give to the souls of Kali Yuga, like almost, you know, it. I mean, as appreciative as we are, it doesn't make sense, you know. And Guru Maharaj said, this is the very nature of Sri Chaitanya Avatar. Is the hello, Hare Krishna. Yes. No, he's okay. Yes. It's that time of year. They're interested to hear. That's avatar, means to descend. So, Hare Krishna. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tise Nama. Mahavananaya means the most magnanimous. Just think, there's so many incarnations. We're told as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. And this one's being identified that no one is equal in magnanimity as Mahaprabhu. So Guru Maharaj said, what should he distribute? He said, stone chips to everyone? He said, no, not only must he be giving something valuable, but to qualify as the Mahavadanai avatar, he must be giving that thing of which there is nothing more valuable. Otherwise, he'd be holding back. So, and what is that? And it's not something foreign to him, but it's rather what he himself has estimated to be the most valuable thing. And what that is, is what is in the heart of Srimati Radharani. He sees nothing higher, more valuable than that. Her specific type of Krishna prema. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrusho Vaneva means the type of love that she alone possesses. He wants to shout it from the rooftops, you know, and have everyone come in connection with that divine substance, which and is the substantial aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement. I like to remind the devotees from time to time, you know, Krishna is not Krishna conscious. Mainly to catch their attention, but to make a point as well. He's Krishna. He's an enjoyer, Adi Purusha. Right? The supreme enjoyer, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. That's not the position of a Krishna conscious person. But after interacting with Srimati Radharani, he wants to be a devotee. And not only any devotee, but like her. So as Mahaprabhu, he experiences Krishna consciousness. Right? And Guru Maharaj has written in the intro of the Prapanna Jivanamritam, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam Nityam Naomi Navadipe Nama Kirtana Nartanai. That the Guru Roop of Krishna is Gauranga. So when he is revealing Krishna consciousness, teaching Krishna consciousness, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam, and the heart and halo of Radharani is enveloped. And from that position, he is disseminating Krishna consciousness, the highest type of Krishna consciousness. So, Jane, what is that one? Gurudev quoted it at the opening of the Mayapur Chandradwaya Mandir in praise of Srila Prabhupada. Kam prati kataya tamise, kam prati pratitamayatu, go patitanaya kunje, gopa vaduti vitang brahma. So that Brahma, weird crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, crawling on the lap of Yashoda, who's qualified to hear this and who can I tell who will believe it? But he's chasing after he's hunting the gopi girls in Vrindavan, in the kunja of Vrindavan. There, I said it. But no one's qualified to hear, and no one will believe that that's the truth. And he said, that's what I could say more. Then Mahaprabhu is very happy to hear that. As he told Mahaprabhu's appearance the other day, Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Taddama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Brajabadu Bargena Jakalpitai. It's interesting. Chakrabarti here in a nutshell is saying, who is Mahaprabhu? But at one point he said, Braja Badu means those gopi girls of Vrindavan, Braja Badu Marg. They've got a path, Margena Kalpitai. And it's interesting, that word can mean imagination, invented, like that. Like generally the way we think of imaginative literature. So he's saying, and Guru Maharaj would sometimes say, there's no better way of approaching Krishna than the path chalked out. He said, invented by the Braja Gopis, as if they got together and came up with us. But the reason that word is significant, and the next one, he's saying, so, but if you think that one comes from the hearts and imagination of the Braja Gopis as somehow insubstantial, non-verifiable, or not Vedic enough for you. Saying Srimad Bhagavatam, what's the evidence of the truth of what's come from their hearts? Srimad Bhagavatam, Pranmanamamalam, Prema Pumarto Mahan. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the evidence for what they, who they are and what they've conceived. So, and why did I mention this? But before.
Before that. Guru Rupa.
No, way before that.
No one is equal in magnanimity as Mahaprabhu.
No, you're talking about Goloka, Gokula.
Gokula and Goloka.
And pastimes. There's a reason that I said this.
Dramatic intensity.
Yes. Well, that we can say. Yes, the original being brought here and souls being given an opportunity to enter. Sometimes, like that. Guru Maharaj called it a dress rehearsal. What I was talking about, Aghasura, and how that, oh yes. So because of the never-ending ecstasy in the pastimes, I mean, some they have to take a break for lunch, or things have to go in another direction. So some demon will appear, like in the case of Aghasura, swallow all the cowherd boys, then Krishna enters and saves them, and then what do they do afterwards? They have a celebration, which means they have a picnic on the banks of the Jamuna. And then, so the pastimes have swung in another direction. Then when you think, all right, now everything's fine again. See, it now they reestablish. Everything's fine again. They're on the banks of the Jamuna. The calves are there. And they're all laughing, joking, enjoying, and being lulled into this never-ending ecstasy of their pastimes. And then what happens is the gods and goddesses are in joyous celebration of the last pastime, Aghasura. And that sound, because it's in the Svargaloka, in the finer realm, it's heard by Brahma on Brahmaloka. They're enjoying it. Then Brahma's hearing that and they're like, what's all the commotion? And then he comes and sees these gods and goddesses madly singing and dancing, celebrate, and there's, who are they worshiping? Is a 5-year-old cowherd boy sitting with his buddies on the bank of the Jamuna, you know, eating and joking around, and he thinks that the gods and goddesses are making fools out of themselves. And that's when, what is he? He, under the influence of yoga maya, we shall say, he gets the inspiration to steal the calves and cowherd boys, because he's thinking that these gods and goddesses, their behavior is inappropriate. Hare Krishna. And by stealing the cows and calves, then Krishna will have a breakdown, probably start crying for his mother, become afraid, and then they'll see what fools they are for worshiping this boy. So just think how it's shifting again from the happy situation. Now there's some drama again. And it will be pointed out when these pastimes are described, this is just a typical day of Krishna Leela, and like one after another, after another, after another. And it doesn't stop. Then he comes back, huh? And then another past. And that's why we say Nitya Leela. And the authors or writers, those who are the mediums for the presentation of these pastimes, are sometimes begging forgiveness for their inability to properly express all these things, because it's like, has infinite aspects to it, and many different channels can be mined. But so that means that from Aghasura to the picnic pastimes, segue to the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And what's going to come out of the Brahma Vimohan Leela is the Brahma Stuti, his prayers, beginning with Nomi Jite Bra Abra Bapuse Taridambaraya Gunjava Tanksha Paripichchala Sangmukhaya Lakshma Sri Mridupit. Kabala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Sri Mridupade Pashu Panka Jaya. Remember, the Bhagavatam is trying to establish the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna, his human-like pastimes, how the Supreme Lord can appear to be like a man. Right? When in the third sloka of Raghupati Yuvidai, Mahaprabhu was saying, so what's the best abode, the best age, the best rasa, and the supreme form of Krishna. And he says, Shyama eva param rupam. Shyama Sundar Krishna is the supreme form. Yang Shyama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. The Achintya Guna Swarup. Everything about it is Achintya, inconceivable. And Puri Madhupuri Bara, the best abode, Madhupuri, the land of sweetness, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radha Kunda. Yeah. Supreme age, Kishore, his teenage form. And Adyo Rasa. And the supreme rasa, Adi rasa, the original, the Mukya rasa, Madhura rasa. So, why didn't I say that? Because, Oh, Brahma Stuti, yeah. So, it's not just prayers for forgiveness, but in these prayers, he's establishing who Krishna is. So by his own apparent folly and foolishness, right? So we can see as an overview how Yogamaya is at play, causing the bewilderment of Brahma, which causes him to steal the cows and the calves. His subsequent bewilderment. So then, in a heartfelt way, he can offer these prayers, right? And saying, you're very difficult to see, right? In a very poetic way, this is being expressed. He's literally saying, you're difficult to see. Why? Because of the abravapu, really, someone has to take care of that. It's too distracting. Either keep it here in one place or take it away. So abravapu means cloud-like form. That is like something called ganashyam, like a monsoon rain cloud, we've been told. So he's saying, on account of that, like when it starts, it's very difficult to see. You, meaning it's very difficult to understand who you are. Abrabapuse. But then, taridambaraya. But your lightning-like dress. Tadit means lightning. Taridambar means dressed in lightning. Right? Because we're told Krishna wears a yellow dhoti. But remember, achintya, these are inconceivable. It's an inconceivable yellow. It's an inconceivable black. not like the black and yellow. Those are just local reference points, but don't think it's literally like that. Otherwise, the word achintya would not be used. So he's saying, when you are wearing your lightning dress, the contrast reveals you. So Guru Maharaj will say, what is the lightning dress, in this case, a reference to? Hladini Shakti, Radharani. So it's another way of saying, when you're dressed in connection with your potency, personified as Srimati Radharani, then we can understand who you are. As Guru Maharaj once said, faith is the halo of Radharani. So here you see some evidence of that. Her halo, as it were, again, not light like this, but means the spiritually conscious revealing. That reveals who you are. Then we can see and understand you. So such, and that's prayer number one. And he's saying, and why is it difficult to ascertain who you are? Well, look at you. As a five-year-old boy, cowherd boy, with the stick pushed in your waist, a flute on the other side, food in your left hand, you're eating there, laughing and joking with your friends, having a picnic on the banks of the Jamuna. He's saying, I'm acquainted with, you know, Yajna Bhuk, means the enjoyer of yajna. Like one of the names, or Yajneshwar. Right. So he's saying, I know that when you have like a Vedic sacrifice and you offer all these prayers and mantras and the ghee and you do, and then in the end, the Lord is pleased and satisfied with you. I understand that he eats through sacrifice. That's how we do things around here normally. But that he can, that Yajna Bhuk, he can sit on the bank of the Jamuna with his friends, laughing and joking and just eating snacks out of his palm. Forgive me for being thrown and trying to understand who you are. And with the stick, not a golden wand that's jewel, you know, like a stick. We've seen in India when they herd the cows, they just carry a little, it's like a twig, and they tap them. They don't carry some big thing and hit them. With a stick, they just tap them. And you'll see sometimes a girl this big with these big cows just tapping them, and they're all going along, a little gopi. So he's got the stick for herding the cows there, and then the bamboo flute on the other side, wearing gunjamala, which again represents Srimati Radharani. They look like little red berries with black dots on the top. It's wearing a necklace of gunjamala, some forest flowers. He's saying, and I'm totally deceived by you. And then he's offering prayers. Narayana stvamna hisarvadehinam. Are you not my father, Narayan? Because Brahma's Atma Bhu, he came from the lotus navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And Krishna, and Kaviraj Goswami has Krishna saying, "How I'm 5 years old and you're like 150 trillion years old. How can I be your father?" Again, oh, that's another one of your tricks. See, that's Krishna Leela. He's 150 trillion years old. And Krishna's 5 years old. And he said, well, we can't rationally accommodate that. Yes, that's right. The mind cannot fathom Atak Sri Krishna Namari Nabhavye Grayam Indre. Listen to Rupa Goswami. He's saying, the name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna are beyond the grasp of the mind, the intellect, the senses. But on account of that, don't think that there isn't mind and intelligence. Beyond this mind intelligence and senses. There's another world where the seva form, here biological expression of the soul's delusion, the body. There, the spiritual form expression of the soul's dedicating tendency is the swarup. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. So, beyond, and taking your pashupangaja, like these childlike steps. So Brahma's utterly charmed and offering these prayers, and then when he says that, but then when Krishna says, how can you be my father, I be your father? Then he starts explaining more Siddhanta about who is Narayan, how he's a secondary expansion of the Lord, and so with each step, and what is his conclusion? Jnane priyasam udapasana manta eva. Stop trying to measure him like Blake's horizon and the bottom of the ocean with the compass. Stop trying to measure him by finite means. Right. Damodar, when Krishna, Yashoda, each time taking one rope and trying to bind Krishna as seva to protect him. Right? Dui angali, two fingers too short. Then she gets more rope. Each time when she comes to the end, two fingers too short. Until, but then Krishna sees Yashoda, the flowers are falling from her hair, some sweat's coming down from the side of her face, and she sees how earnestly she's trying to bind him. Then we're told he's bound by her love and affection. Then he's tied up. Not the other way. Yashoda, she's teaching these things, like she doesn't write books on philosophy. She just binds Krishna with the ropes of love and affection. Yashoda va mahabhaga, more fortunate as ma Yashoda. So Brahma is saying, Jnane priyasam udapasana manteva. I've got four heads, and I couldn't figure out who he was. So, Jivanti san mukari, sat mukarita. Hear from his devotees. Like Krishna, Guru Maharaj told me once, he said, you know, he's always praising Hegel and giving Hegel Sukriti, and Guru Maharaj is sometimes like, he loved Hegel, so when he say, Hegel is a very good man, because he found things from there that were useful in expressing Krishna conception. Reality is for itself and by itself. And this comes back to the original question this evening, that it's the nature of reality, one aspect of reality, like the Shakti, Yoga Maya, Leela Shakti, to create this dramatic tension so that more and more rasa can be generated. That's the function. But so Guru Maharaj said about Hegel and the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And he's saying, there's a thesis, then an antithesis comes along to challenge that. Then they synthesize and become a new thesis. And then an antithesis comes along, antithesis, to challenge that. The synthesis of the two creates a new thesis, like that. That's his idea. And it's a very sense that Guru Maharaj is not refuting that. But he's saying, because I never heard him say anything against Hegel, but once in a letter he said, but Hegel's shortcoming is he cannot accommodate Leela. That, like, he's seeing some, like, you know, the progress of history or whatever, but when we say Leela push, that which nourishes Leela, it's like Guru Maharaj says at one point, prepare to surrender yourself to a whimsical absolute. Like, I've never heard anyone describe God as being whimsical other than Guru Maharaj. And generally, we avoid whimsical people, or it's not looked upon as a good quality, right? But Guru Maharaj says these things to make you think further. And so if he's the absolute, then even his whims are good. They're absolute good. They're good for everyone. And reality is for itself and by itself. So all of this is ultimately meant to, for his purpose. And what is his purpose? Enjoyment. He's the supreme enjoyer. And it's not like he's enjoying and we're off crying in the corner. Although at present we are. But that's due to our own misreading of the situation. We're in the uniquadrantal. We're over in the corner zone of mundane limitations and lamentation. Right. So, and we're thinking, here we're going to, by acquiring, controlling, consuming things lower than us, we're going to find fulfillment and happiness and satisfaction. As opposed to the concept of offering yourself wholesale to something higher. Like Guru Maharaj would say, there's an enjoyment that comes from stealing, and there's an enjoyment that comes from giving. And this is the enjoyment that comes from self-offering. But this, the opposition is there to create the dramatic attention so that one can rise to the occasion. It's part of the... Bhaktivinoda Thakur answers this in the Jaiva Dharma when someone says, like, because he says at one point, you know, the material world, this is also one of Krishna's pastimes. And then someone poses the question, then like, why do we have to be in pastimes where like we have to suffer? Why don't you make some other kind of pastimes for us where we're just like nonstop enjoying? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Yashoda's crying herself blind in separation from Krishna, so much apparent suffering in her pastimes. But we would have to say, that type of, there's suffering there too, but the suffering there yields enjoyment, where the enjoyment here yields suffering, right? Hangover, you know, as an example, and many other things. So there, the suffering yields enjoyment. Her separation from Krishna, the pain in the hearts of Radharani and Brajagopis in separation from Krishna, the cows when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, cows were crying and fainting, Nanda Yashoda. How heartbreaking that is. Even sometimes Balaram saying, Krishna, enough. Look, everyone's fainted on the banks of the Jamuna. And what is Krishna thinking? Like, oh, this is a good chance for Rasa Leela. Calls Radharani and Brajagopis, they're having a Rasa Leela on top of Kaliya while everyone's knocked out. And Balaram, like, I'll be over in the Kunj. Once Gurudev said, if Krishna is that way, then what to speak about? As an excuse. Where's the origin? But for Krishna, there's no sting. Like Guru said, nectar biting. Everything is made out of this quality there. So, here, sat mukharita bhavadiya bhartam, stanestita shrutigatam. He's saying, so whatever your position is, it's very beautiful. Because they're saying, wow, I'm like that, and I, this is my situation. He's saying, whatever it is, anything, anyone, whatever position you're in, if from that position you begin hearing about Krishna from his devotees, then you can begin the march toward the Vaikuntha world and higher. Just by on the waves of that divine sound, you can be transported to this other region. And that's why Guru said, when you hear from a real agent, Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut, the nectar of the Krishna Katha, he said, the experts say, that's your first, and Mahaprabhu, contact with reality, substantial representation of the reality of the beautiful. And he said, then your days in this world are numbered, relatively speaking, because a drop of that, Radharani said, she's saying nectar, but saying it has almost like poisonous effects. Gomer said, like a drop of potassium cyanide finishes you. So he's saying a drop of the nectar of hearing Krishna finishes your material existence. That's how powerful it is. But here, all these pastimes have all this dramatic tension arranged by Yoga Maya so that they can unfold, they can be glorified, they can be sung about, discussed. And Brahma Vimohan Leela is an example of that. Hare Krishna.